Several weeks ago, I had the pleasure, I was invited to preside at a wedding of the daughter of some close friends of ours, some people that we came to know and cherish from the time that I served at Emmanuel in Jackson. It was a pleasure, really, to be a part of this. It's always fun when you know the people whom you're marrying. Believe me, it's really helpful. And not only that, but you cherish them as friends. And so I had the option to be able to do that, and I said yes to it. The couple, they were living here in Grand Rapids, and so they came here several times. I had a chance to sit down with them. They're just a fun pair, and I enjoyed my time with them. But the excitement really grew. Though they were growing in excitement, it really grew. It was noticeable when I went up for the rehearsal on that Friday before. All kinds of activity was going on. It was held at a little cabin, well, maybe not so little cabin, on Chippewa Lake. I don't know if you've ever been to Chippewa Lake, but it's a beautiful lake. In fact, when I walked around the house and I looked out over the lake, I felt as though it was part of a dream that I had had a number of weeks before. It was really kind of deja vu, you know, kind of a little kind of on the spooky side. I thought, like, I'd been there before. It's really strange. But anyway, all that aside, it was on this nice little cabin and open area. That's where the wedding was going to be held. And there was all kinds of activity. The maid of honor, she was down on her hands and knees writing out the names using this little chalkboard that had a stake in it and liquid chalk. Have you seen that before? It's unbelievable. It was a new invention for me. I don't know where I've been all this time. But she was writing out the names of the bride and groom, their parents, the wedding party, even had mine down at the bottom as the officiant. And they took that and put it in a certain spot so everybody could see it. The benches were set out in a line just perfectly. The maid of honor was a real kind of a perfectionist freak. And she was lining them all up just to make sure that they were perfect. They brought in planters and put certain plants inside of them, placed them in certain areas. The mother and the two mothers were up there in this structure that they purchased on the internet. It was an archway made of birchwood. How do you know you can buy things like that on the internet? But here there was this archway that they were going to stand under, and the two mothers were out there decorating it with vines and flowers. And once they gave up on it, then other women came out and they added their 2 cents. Lights were being stretched over this huge patio area, deck area that they had where food was going to be out. And the girls, the maid of honors, they were just all excited and giddy and running around getting things ready. The food and the things they were going to prepare and heat it up. And they were all brought in as well for the experience the next day. I have to tell you, the place was hopping. There was an excitement and an anticipation for a wedding. You wasn't going to have any more than about 30 people there, but wow, it was electric. And it was, one could almost say that the wedding had already begun at the rehearsal, for the excitement and the enthusiasm was already there. That you could feel it, you could sense it, and you just got caught up in it. Now that's what's going on. That's what's building in our text today, is the excitement and the joy of a banquet that is yet to come. We never see what happens in the banquet. We know that many people are invited and there's all kinds of food and they finally show up, but we don't hear who presided. We don't know what the liturgy was they used. We don't know what songs they sang. We don't even know what food they eat other than oxen, which was never on the top of my list. And a few other things. And besides it, we don't know what dances they dance. We don't know any of that. All we know is all the preparation and the excitement leading up to the most important celebration of that king at that time. His son was about to marry. Now, I think this text has a lot to say about what we do here in worship every Sunday morning. For we too gather in kind of a rehearsal mode for the great banquet that is to come. In fact, I heard one once say, the banquet has not started, but we live in the fact that it has begun. It has. The whole point of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and his ascension is to announce The victory is already there. We know how it all ends. And we know where we're going. There's a banquet to be celebrated and to be had. And we are all invited, specifically given to us at the waters of baptism. But we're reminded of it every time we gather together. You are invited to a banquet, a wedding feast. God is committed to the marriage of His Son with the world and with His church. And we gather together with joy and anticipation. And He goes on to say, we are ready for the bridegroom to come. In fact, we say it sometimes in our liturgy. If we were to stick more closely to the liturgy that is in the green hymnal that is in your seats, or in the new red hymnal that has begun, part of the liturgy even says, Amen, come Lord Jesus. We want the bridegroom to come. We're on the verge of His coming, and we pray every Sunday for that coming to be here. But the music is not yet reached its full pitch. In spite of how loud this group can be on Sunday morning, it's still not there. In spite of how we gather all of our voices throughout the world, of all churches that gather on Sunday, still the volume is low. The heavens haven't yet begun. The banquet has not yet begun in the same sense that it will when we walk into the banquet hall with the presence of God and the Son. The food has only just begun in the Eucharist. We even describe it as a foretaste of the feast to come. A small little piece of bread, a little bit of a gulp of wine, and all it does is remind us of the great feast that is yet to come. But it also fills us with joy. For as He comes this day, every Sunday, to be present among us, the promise is clear that He will take us soon to the great banquet, the hall prepared by Christ Himself for the sake of a grand celebration. Wow! How can worship not be an exciting time? Is it because maybe the hymns aren't what we had hoped, or certain expressions aren't there, or it's some of the same things we do every Sunday? Well, then we've got a serious problem. And it isn't because of the lack of the presence of Christ. Maybe it's a lack of understanding in our head and in our hearts of the fact that we are in the presence of the living God, who is on the verge of a grand celebration to which we are invited, and that maybe what we need to do is be about practicing for that day in hearing what God has to say, practicing the liturgy of thanksgiving, and to celebrate the smallness of the feast as a sign of greater things yet to come. What an incredible time when we gather here on Sunday. And if all of that is true, and what does it all mean? What does it all mean? If it's true that we gather as a rehearsal for the great feast that is to come, if it's true that we know the feast is coming and it's going to happen no matter what, it's evident in our text, whether those who are invited wish to come or not, by golly, God will find others. And it's interesting to me that those who are invited are both good and bad. Don't go looking around, find out who those are. But there are some of those in our midst today. I might be one of them. There are probably times some of you might agree. Yeah, that in the community, in the banquet of Jesus, there could actually be bad people in there? Wow. And I'm not going to get into the one who is bad, at least as indicated in the text, who came without their proper attire and was thrown out where there's gnashing of teeth. I always wanted to see what that would be like. Gnashing of teeth and weeping. We'll talk about that at another time if you wish. In fact, I had three people come out on the Saturday service to ask me about that, and I'm more than willing to stay afterwards. We can discuss that. But that's not our issue today. Our issue today is that we're invited to a feast. And what does that mean? To know that the feast is coming no matter what. I heard it said once that a banquet is for people who know the question that really matters. Have you been made a different person? Have you allowed Jesus to make a difference in you? And that's why we gather here, to allow that to happen. To allow the facts, the reality of God's presence to shape and renew us. To allow the words that are spoken so clearly in word and sacrament on a Sunday morning to shape us and transform us to different things, to different perspectives. If it's true that the banquet is coming and we're members of it, then everything changes. Nothing can be the same. Everything changes. Our perspective on life, our understanding of the world in which we live, where there are good and bad, all invited to the kingdom. In fact, we become the very slaves of this story, whose purpose is to share with the world the banquet is coming, and the one who has prepared it is anxious for your presence. Everything changes. Our attitudes towards ourselves, our family, our spouses, those around us, everything changes. How we use our time, how we use our money, how we give to the church. It all is made different. It all is transformed when we realize that it all has to do with a banquet of a son who wishes a relationship with the world and the church and wants that relationship to be a marriage to last forever. You are invited to that banquet. In fact, one might say, we are the bride that God enters into relationship with. And if that is true, then it changes everything of who we are, what we do, and what we say. Amen.